公英才艺媒体营开始报名喽！七月共两梯次，五月十五号前想早鸟价，请上网搜寻空中英语教室。空英青年之夜，六月二十一号礼拜五晚上七点半在台北真道教会，免费报名参加，请搜寻空中英语教室。
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. How Lego keeps you loyal. Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is April 25. Yesterday, we started our program talking about Lego's example of cultivating or nurturing loyalty. Today, we continue on the topic of Lego's loyalty program. How does it keep its most faithful fans loyal? We'll get in that in just a moment. First, I'd like to welcome Peter to the program.
Hello, Rebecca. Hi, everyone. Good to be here.
Peter, it's great to have you on the program. Now, my question for you today is there a rewards program or loyalty program of any company that you really, really like that you have right now?
Not that I really, really like. I am part of just a few rewards programs as it is. I think my credit card has a rewards program. I'm sure all of them do nowadays. But I don't use my credit card that much, so it's not that big a factor in my life. I mentioned yesterday there's a local business here in Taipei that I use fairly regularly, and I do have a loyalty card for them to eventually earn myself a free sandwich. But, you know, and it's good. I appreciate it, but I'm not nuts about it. You know, I don't go to bed at night thinking, oh, boy, I'm a member of X company's loyalty program. Aren't I privileged? You know, it's not like that. But it's okay.
Yeah, that's true. There are not that many rewards programs out there right now that makes us really excited. How about Linda? Linda, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rebecca. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I can't say that I'm a part of a loyalty program that I really like because, first of all, I'm not like a huge shopper. So it takes me a long time to like get enough stamps or points to get anything, you know, like a free coffee or, you know, a free meal. And then I am part of credit card companies, but it seems like they are making it harder to earn rewards. Like your points are worth less now. You know, they've changed the rules, like even recently on a lot of programs in which it's just, they make it more difficult. You know, your points are just worthless.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. It's a really good point to point out, and maybe later in the program we can talk about that in particular. It feels like most loyalty programs, it's got harder to accumulate points, and the points mean less. Like, you have to have a lot of points before you can actually change anything. And there's so many rules. Like, one of my favorite dessert places, they always tell me, you have to spend 100 NT before you can make a point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, they make the threshold higher and higher.
Yeah.
And before, it's like, if I just buy anything, I'll get a point. Now there's like 100 NT for one little point. You know, and then how many points do I need before I can just get a free dessert?
Right. So you're going to end up spending thousands just for that little dessert that probably cost 100 NT, you know.
Yeah. No, I remember as a kid, cereal box tops. Collect a dozen or 100 cereal box tops and put them in the mail, you get a free package of flower seeds or something. And that was, even then, I'm just thinking back now as we're talking, on a way that companies used to cultivate loyalty before the digital age, before, you know, you could give all these online benefits. Some cereals would have actual toys, little toys in the cereal box itself, and that went some distance toward building loyalty. I'd say, Mom, you know, be sure to get this brand or that brand, because that brand has terrible toys in it. Not at all thinking about what I'm eating, you know, it's just I wanted to get the toy.
Right. So the loyalty programs do make a difference, but the question is there rewards worth it? Now, let's get into our program today, and let's talk about, for Lego, how does Lego build rewards? Let's get into our first reading.
For Lego, there is no scarcity in letting people earn rewards. Lego's ability to provide benefits scales in direct relationship to the ability of a customer to earn those benefits. There is no limit to the number of $5 discounts Lego can give out if they are based on the amount of money you spent in the first place. It's just a cost of doing business. When you think about it, this costs Lego almost nothing, but the benefit is huge. Not only is this something every fan can appreciate, but there are also three reasons I think this is an interesting lesson for every brand. Simple is almost always better. One of the best things about the change is that it makes things simpler for customers. You no longer need multiple accounts. Your LEGO Insider account gets you access to everything. The easier you make it for someone to be your customer, the more likely they'll stick around.
For Lego, there is no scarcity in letting people earn rewards. The word scarcity is a very good word to learn, especially these days with global warming, with the world heating up. Like, scarcity is a real problem. And scarcity is when we don't have enough. When we don't have enough of something, something is scarce. And here it says, for Lego, there is no scarcity in letting people earn rewards. Linda, what is it trying to say here?
There are a lot of ways people can earn rewards with Lego. So there's no shortage or no scarcity of ways to earn rewards. And these benefits or these rewards, they scale in direct relationship to the ability of a customer to earn those benefits. So, what I get from this is that, you know, like, of course, the more you spend, the more benefits that you're going to get. And it goes on to say that there's no limit to the amount or the number of $5 discounts Lego gives out if they're based on the amount of money you spent in the first place. So, like, if you spend a certain amount and you get a $5 discount, you know, like, that will encourage you then to, you know, spend more, right? So that $5 discount, like, it's an incentive for you to buy another Lego set because you're saving money.
Even though it costs Lego money.
Yeah.
So I guess it does cost Lego money, but they end up getting that money back because you are a repeat customer.
You end up buying more sets than you would otherwise.
Right. And probably, like, you're going to buy maybe a more expensive set next time or a more complex set, you know? And then if you're a loyal customer, you'll just continue to keep buying stuff and there'll probably be more expensive or, you know, like, fancier ones.
That's true. I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. And the next sentence that goes, it's just a cost of doing business. So there is a cost to Lego. Every time Lego gives you a discount coupon or a reward, there is a cost. This is not free. Lego will have to pay for this. But I think what the author is trying to get at in a little bit, to be really honest, the way he's writing it here is a little bit hard to understand. It's a little complicated. But if we really make it simple, what he's trying to say is the little that Lego is giving you, the loyal customer, they're actually making more.
Right.
Because by giving you a $5 coupon discount, you're going to spend more, like Linda said. You're probably going to spend more and you're probably going to repeat your purchase. You'll make new purchases faster. Mm-hmm. And in that way, Lego is making more. So here it says, when you think about it, this costs Lego almost nothing, but the benefit is huge. You know, I really got to say, Lego does have a cost. Lego will definitely have a cost for that reward that they're giving you. But if you look at the big picture,
it's more of an investment, their customers.
They're paying small money for your reward, and they will make bigger money.
Spend money to make money.
So I think that's really the point of this whole paragraph. They're spending money to make more money, and that is the wisdom that Lego has in cultivating these these loyal fans. Mm-hmm. Like they spend little money to make big money. And that is a good lesson for all of us to learn, because I think a lot of times in businesses, the boss is afraid to spend money. You know, like yeah. they don't want to spend, yeah. like, I don't want to make generalizations, but in many smaller businesses, the bosses don't want to spend money in marketing or in promotion because they think that this amount, they're not going to make directly back very fast. Mm. You know, and the truth is, usually you do have to spend some money to make bigger money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how much you're willing to spend often also determines how much you will make down the road.
Right.
And in English, we have another saying, you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a saying from the Bible. And what it just means is, like, if you plant many seeds, then a lot of seeds will grow. If you plant few seeds, then few seeds will grow. So you reap what you sow. So you will get the fruit of what you sow. Well, let's talk about, there's a couple lessons we can learn. Let's talk about the first lesson. Peter, what does it tell us?
Right. Well, the first lesson that the author thinks we can learn from Lego's example is that simple is almost always better. And that's true in so many areas of life. I was reading an article the other day about the founder of In-N-Out Burgers, and he had a motto that was basically just keep it simple, find one thing and do it really well. And so here we see it again in another business article. Simple is always better. And in this case specifically, it means, since we were talking about how the rewards here for the customer loyalty are mainly digital access to different websites of the company, you no longer need multiple accounts. Your Lego Insider account, the new account here, gets you access to everything. So apparently previously there was the Lego this website and Lego that website and all these ways you could interact with the company and get more out of your products, but you needed different accounts for each one of them. And now, in this Lego Insider account, that's like one key opens all these doors.
Yeah, so they have simplified the process. That's great. Well, let's continue to our next reading where we talk about two more lessons we can learn from Lego.
A rewards program should feel rewarding. Companies spend a lot of time trying to figure out the right balance of benefits and rewards to give customers in exchange for their loyalty. The thing is, there's usually a lot of math involved. But cultivating loyalty isn't just about math. Letting people register sets they already bought is such a simple way to say, "We appreciate your loyalty." Your most important job is to know your best customers. The challenge of every loyalty program is designing it in a way to reward customers for a specific type of behavior by giving them the benefits they want. As a business, you want your customers to behave a certain way. Usually, you want them to buy more of your products. Figuring out what benefits will incentivize that behavior is your most important job. That means understanding what really matters to your customers and giving them that. That goes beyond just what kind of rewards you hand out to your customers. It also involves the products you make in the first place.
Well, the next lesson we can learn from Lego is simple. A rewards program should feel rewarding. Linda, what does that mean?
Well, yeah, you should feel like you're being rewarded, right? A lot, like we said before, a lot of these rewards or loyalty programs, they don't really feel rewarding. They have so many restrictions on them, and it takes so many purchases, or you have to spend so much money to get anything out of them. So they feel, they don't feel rewarding or feel less rewarding because companies have also been changing their policies
yes.
on their loyalty programs. And this happened with like several airlines with their frequent flyer programs. They wanted to cut back on a lot of benefits and also make it more expensive. So you needed a lot more points to like earn that free seat or to get that upgrade. And there was actually like backlash for a certain airline, so that they had to retract, you know, those changes because people were so upset.
It's really true. When you think about airlines and you think about frequent flyer points, when we were younger, when we were teenagers or when we were just children, it seems like it was much easier to earn points.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
yeah.
I took enough flights to Canada, so I had like a whole round trip ticket paid for.
Yeah.
Because I had accumulated so many points. Back in the day, I used to take Air Canada. That's Canada's national airline. And it was so easy to get points.
Right.
That,
right.
You know, just a couple more trips and then you get a free mm-hmm. ticket. But these days, it's so difficult to get any flight.
Yeah.
Any free flight.
They changed the system. Like for
they changed the point
American
system.
Airlines, it used to be based on the miles that you flew, like the distance. So you'd get the amount of points based on the amount of miles or whatever kilometers that you flew. But now it's based on how much money you spend on the ticket.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So if you bought a cheaper ticket, then you're going to get less points.
Regardless of how far you go.
Right. I mean, there are ways to like double those points. Like if you are like a member of a certain standing, then you get, you know, the amount times whatever, maybe times three or something like that. But just that change, you know, from going from the distance to the amount spent, that really reduces the amount of points that you can earn. And also they've made the value of the points less.
Yes.
So you have to have a lot more points, you know, to get that reward. Before, like the points that I had, oh, I could get, you know, a business class seat. Now, can't even get an economy class seat.
That's really true. Like, we do have a sidebar here about loyalty is about a feeling. And it says exactly what Linda is saying here. It says that it seems though a lot of companies are making their loyalty programs a little less rewarding. And this is a very polite way of saying it. For many of us, we feel like the loyalty programs are making the programs a lot less rewarding. Like just talking about we know the airline industry has really struggled the past few years due to COVID, the pandemic. Airline companies lost a lot of money. So now they're trying to make up for it by increasing, you know, plane prices and, you know, just by many mechanisms to make back that money. But in the process, the loyalty programs they once had really are not that great.
Yeah.
You know, they're really not that great. So these days when I buy stuff, I don't care which airline. Well, actually, I still care which airline I take because I want to go with an airline that has a very good flying record. I don't want to go with an airline that had like two plane crashes in the past few years. You know, so I do look at the safety record, you know, but other than the safety record, pretty much now I just buy whoever can give me the best price.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like in the old days I would only buy Air Canada because I want to make sure all my points mm-hmm. are with Air Canada. Mm-hmm. But no way.
But since they're not worth much anymore.
They're not worth yeah. much anymore. Basically, the reward system is not worth that much. So basically, whoever can offer me a good price for a flight from Taipei to Vancouver, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. It could be any airline with a good flying record.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because I think for me, the key line in this section is where he says cultivating loyalty isn't just about math. It isn't just about crunching the numbers and figuring out how much you can devalue the points or reward them in this way or that way in order to maximize your own profit. Because what happens when you make it just about math is, like Rebecca was just saying, then the customer treats you just like another math equation and
yes.
doesn't feel loyalty to the company, but loyalty to the math. Where's the cheapest ticket? I don't care how often I flew that airline in the past. I don't care how good the service was. Where's the cheapest ticket? Because I don't feel like they're treating me like anything more than a bunch of numbers. So
it's
I'll treat
really
them
true.
As a bunch of numbers.
It's really a two-way relationship. I think the mm-hmm. way we treat customers will feel it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's really important. Sometimes like I think how we interact with our customers, like are we interacting with the way that makes them feel valued? Or, you know, are we just treating them as just another money sign? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times I feel many companies treat us as just another money sign. So in the end, how can you expect us to be loyal? I mean, we can go on this topic a long time. Definitely this is food for another day, like food for thought, like on another day about brand loyalty. But I think in general, you know, like this generation has even less brand loyalty. Like, they are not as loyal as before.
Now with the exception of Apple.
With the exception of companies like Apple. And we can talk about that a lot. I mean, Apple does a very good job of cultivating brand loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
They also make their products so easy to use that there's a real hard challenge if I have to switch to another company, because my world is revolving around Apple. And that brings us to our last point, our last lesson we can learn from LEGO's loyalty program. Peter, what is this?
Right. Well, the last lesson, and it's true across the board in business from what I understand, is to know, not just know your customers, although that's important, but know your best customers. And this is, I think, the most important line for me in this section is where he says, figure out what benefits will incentivize the behavior of customer loyalty to your brand. Incentivize, there's a big long word, it just means motivate. What benefits will produce the behavior in your customers that you want, that will lead them to be loyal, that will lead them to keep buying your products. You can't just go off and figure out a loyalty program and put it in place and then never give your customers another thought. You need to, you were saying just a moment ago, Rebecca, how a good business will have a true relationship with its customers, a two-way relationship. And part of that, a big part of it, is figuring out how to incentivize your customers, in this case, through your loyalty program.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to understand at the end of the day, the most important thing we need the customer to do is buy our products.
Right.
I mean, for every business to survive, that is our, I mean, that is a given. You need to do that. And then, so basically, we have to keep thinking, how do we get them to buy our product? Like, for example, we were using the example of Apple a little earlier. I think there's a lot of Apple fans here. With Apple, like when they roll out a new phone, let's say they put out a new iPhone, why do I need to buy another iPhone? I mean, it's not a cheap phone. It's a pretty expensive phone. Why do I need to buy that phone? So Apple needs to give me a compelling reason for me to buy that new phone. And here it says, we have to understand what benefits will make my customer do what I want them to do. And in this case, it's buying. Like, how can I reward them so they want to buy? And I think this is really an important point, not just for doing good business. It's also important for life, like with your kids. How can I incentivize them so that they will study English?
Like, give I think them for, incentives that, you know, that
they
really
care
want.
About.
Yeah.
Yeah. Linda and I are both, like, very, very good aunts. Like, we're fun aunts. But, you know, we see this with our nephews and nieces. Like,
mm-hmm.
like as they grow up, as they turn into teens, like, how can we give them benefits so that they will do the actions we want them to do?
Yeah, so you have to know them in order to, you know what they like and what they want to provide that, the right incentive for them to do what you want, you know, to encourage them and motivate them to do what you want or what they need to do.
Yes. In other words, you need to hold out the right carrot.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
in English, we also like to use the example of a carrot and a stick. So a carrot is a benefit that a tangible benefit someone can get from doing what you want them to do. And then a stick is punishment, right? So like, for example, like if a kid doesn't, you know, like, go according to what you want. A punishment might mean the kid is grounded. Like, that's really popular in the West. The kid is grounded. You can't go out with your friends for the weekend
mm-hmm.
because you didn't, you know, pass the test or you didn't do this or that. And with a carrot, you give them a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the benefit? If I do this action, how will I benefit? And this is important for every age, like not just for kids. You know, it's not just for teenagers, like 12-year-old. I want the kid to study English. I need a good carrot. Well, for adults too.
Mm-hmm.
Like perhaps you are a boss. Like how do you give good incentives to your employees? You know, like we are all employees.
Mm-hmm.
We also need incentives too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, employees don't naturally want to do good work. They need to have incentives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we got some nice incentives from our boss actually just before we went into the studio today. It is, like you say, it's a relationship, and a good business will involve a good relationship, and it won't just be about the math. The math is important. It's not that you can just, you know, forget about that, but you can't reduce it to the math. You can't reduce your customers to numbers. You need to also touch them. They need to, like we said, feel like they're being rewarded. And the one way to do that, important way, is to know them, to know. And I'm interested, too, that they particularly say here to know your best customers.
Yes.
That's a business approach in which, because it sounds like your more casual customers are maybe a little less important.
Yes.
Would you say that's true?
I agree. Like here when we're talking about our best customers, perhaps these are the customers who repeat buy, like mm-hmm, they buy the most often or they spend the most money with you. These are your most important customers. So you really do have to understand your customer base. Who are the ones who are spending a lot of money with you? Who are the casual ones, like just buy once every 10 years? Mm-hmm. You probably need a very good database to keep track of their purchases. And that's another reason why loyalty programs are very important. Mm. Because with loyalty programs, we track every customer's purchase. Like everything is in the computer system. So I can track the behavior. And then last we go on to say that goes beyond just what kind of rewards you hand out to your customers. It also involves the products you make in the first place. I just want to go over the term hand out. So to hand out just means here to give something to each person, right, to hand out. This is a very simple explanation, to hand out. So basically, all the rewards in the world will make a difference, but at the same time, your product has to be good to begin with.
Yeah, you have to have a good product to start with.
If you don't have a good product, all the rewards in the world will not make a big difference.
Exactly. Right. And
fact,
Lego does.
It may make it seem, you may come across as a little desperate by saying, here, buy our product, rewards, rewards. But the product itself, you know, that's got to be where it starts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think we can safely say that Lego has a very good product. So the rewards program is just icing on the cake. If something is icing on the cake, it's just you already have something very good, and that's just the top. That's just the final
extra benefits.
Benefits, yeah. On that note, we have to end today's program. It was fascinating. I hope we definitely do come back in the future and talk about brand loyalty. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Linda.
I'm Peter.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.